Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast where we're not cops. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Jason Razorbabes Frizzbabe. How are you doing, Mr. Frizzbabe?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Doing good. You're not a cop?
I was going to ask you, why are we talking about being cops or not? We're not cops.
We're not cops.
Isn't there a tagline? Pool Party Radio. We're not cops.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors going around talking about how we're cops on the internet.
We just want to know where all the teens are hanging out. That's not too much to ask.
We want to know where the teens are. We want to know if they're doing any drugs or illegal activities, underage drinking. If they're doing drugs, we want to know how many units of drugs they're doing.
I would like to know where I can get, like a dime bag of marijuana or an ecstasy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever else is there.
Yeah, me personally, I'm looking for 5 units of cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And if any kids out there know where I can get 5 units of cocaine, we want you to let us know on our Facebook, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. We're not cops.
Not cops.
But please do include your address and the addresses of all your friends who also do drugs.
Their names, where they might get those drugs. It's just, you know... Just to know. That's all we want to know.
Mm-hmm. License plate numbers, if you got those, that would be great. That would really help. Not cops. We are not cops on this show.
Never. Mm-mm. Never been cops.
So I'm glad we cleared that up, addressed those rumors. Not cops. So how are you doing now that we're not cops, now that that's established?
Well, since I've never been a cop, I'm doing okay. Doing all right. It's been a long, fun week. Fun in the sun. Have you been having fun in the sun out in California?
I have. There's been a lot of sun. There's been a lot of fun. I found a toad. I don't know if I mentioned that last week.
It's thrilling. Tell me more. What'd you do with this toad?
I just kind of looked at him.
Play toad baseball.
I would have loved to have done that. No, he was in my garden, and he was protecting me from all the bugs, I assume.
Oh, so this is Toad Bro. He's your best friend now.
Yeah, he's Mr. Broad's wild ride. That's what I called him.
That's right.
So he was my total bro. So that was good. That was good stuff. I do want to apologize to somebody real quick at the top of the show. I want to apologize to Mr. Unstable. We were supposed to have him on the show, but then my schedule got a little messy. Now he's going to come on in 2 weeks. Everybody loves Mr. Unstable, though. I do want to talk to him about the fact that... Spring Breakers totally ripped him off.
Yes.
And I find that interesting. A guy who is a rapper who claims to be from outer space in Spring Breakers. I wonder where they could have gotten that idea from the original rapper who thought he was from outer space, Mr. Unstable. That's where.
It's a great performance. You can look up his videos on YouTube. He's got some of his music videos there. You can see what his shows are like. And he's got a new song out called Xanax, Cocaine, and Marijuana. And... If you happen to know anybody who's doing any of those, just give us their name and address, their phone number. If you know their schedule, we'd like that too. And not cops.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah. Song is called Xanax, Cocaine, and Marijuana.
So yeah, so apologies to Mr. Unstable. He'll be on in two weeks from now. So that'll be fun. He's great. I like him.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
One thing I don't like. One guy I don't like, Mr. Frisbee. James Bond.
Yeah?
What do you know about James Bond? Do you watch these movies?
I know he's immortal. Mm-hmm. He's a screen legend. Mm-hmm. He forcibly makes love on women. It's kind of rapey.
Dude, it's so forcible. Man, it's like so much more forcible than I would have ever thought. Like, most of the ladies he like makes loves to, like at least in like the, well, kind of, it's, I thought that would be like, more rapey towards the 60s, but now that I've gotten into, like, the early 70s ones, kind of a little bit more rapey, surprisingly. But he'll, like, run upon, like, a girl who's working for the bad guy, and then he'll beat the crap out of her. This especially happens in Man with the Golden Gun, which is the most recent one I watched. He'll beat the crap out of this girl, and then a little bit later they'll make love, and then she'll be a good guy. It's just ridiculous. It's very intense.
Wait, does the music swell with some violins once he starts making out with them, like while he's holding their wrists in a prone position so they can't do anything to move away?
Yeah, he likes to minimize their abilities to escape. That's one thing he's
But the music swells, though, right?
Yeah, the music swells.
Okay, that's... Well, it's fine, then. I mean, as long as you hear violins, then you're good. Like, you know, swelling violins. It's romantic. It's romantic to have, like, you know, your hands bound by some guy who's trying to stick his tongue down your throat. That's what... Isn't that what everybody wants?
Yeah. That's actually the defense they used in Steubenville, which is why those guys, did they get off? Did they get quit?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, well, that's the defense thing.
But, yeah, man, sports, right? Come on.
Yeah.
Sports.
You know, sports are very important. You can't ruin those kids' lives just for raping a lady. Come on.
Just because one person's life got ruined, you know, it's, you don't want to spoil everybody's chances.
Yeah, you don't want to, you know, one bad apple ruins the bunch.
High five for Ohio, dude. High five for Ohio. From my town to yours.
That was one of the bad towns, though. We lived in a good town. Everybody in Huber Heights and everybody in Vandalia, they were always convicted of all the rapes.
Yeah.
So.
That's.
Good. Our towns are good. Our towns were good. 100% conviction and kill rate when it came to rapes.
Conviction and kill rate.
Yeah. They were very hard on rapes there, where we were from.
Yeah. And, yeah, getting back to James Bond, he... You know, comparatively makes the villains look somewhat good, because at least they're explaining what they're doing and they have their methods. And if I recall, I don't think any of them have like that rapey vibe to them.
Yeah,
but I haven't seen these movies. You have more experience with them. So which ones have you watched, and how many have you watched?
I've watched 9 of them so far.
Jeez. Why?
I don't know. I just need, you know, I needed to find out. Also, I'm on the Letterboxd, and I really like tagging. Like, when I watch a movie, you know, like, I watch a lot of these franchise movies, you know, your Star Treks and your Freddy's and Jason's, and I like tagging them with which part they are. That way, when I click on the tag, it says, like, part 7. I can, look and see which movie franchise has the best part 7. I'm really obsessed with tagging stuff now. So I was like, well, I gotta watch James Bond. That way he can be thrown into the mix. That was my reason for hastily committing to watch 25 James Bond movies.
This is bizarre. I'm thinking this has something to do with your Scientology kick, because this does not sound like you. You're watching one of the most Anglophile things there is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a long-running franchise. It's comparatively almost as long as the Doctor Who TV series.
How long has Doctor Who been around?
Since, early 60s, 63 or something.
Yeah, this too. The first James Bond movie is from 62.
Shit, man. You're knee deep in that salt pee.
That's true. It's so
salty, I guess.
Yeah. Like everything in these movies is like so British. Like James Bond will like kill a dude, you know, like brutally murder somebody. But for the time, brutally murder means like he'll karate chop them in the neck and they like fall over. But like he'll be like, I do apologize for having to do this, old bean. You've been a real chap about everything. And then he kills them. It's like so ridiculous and like so stupid. And then like there'll be like high speed chases where he's like trying to get away from the bad guys. But like they're so unexciting because like they're using like that rear projection thing where like they're just in a car and it's like, you know, they're showing movement on a screen behind them, you know, and it's like so boring and stupid. And which is like the oldest thing a movie can do. There's two ways to tell that a movie is like super old and not worth watching. If they have rear projection like that in car scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And if the credits that involve, like, the gaffer and the best boy and, like, all that happened
beginning
before...
Beginning of the film?
Yeah, it happened at the beginning of the film. Don't watch it.
But you're watching them. Regardless of all of that, you're sticking through and tagging things for Letterboxd.
Yeah, I've committed to watching all of these. And, they're real awful. They're real terrible. They're also, as you might imagine, a bit racist. I was watching this one. And oddly enough, this is also one of the later ones, which is more racist, oddly enough. You wouldn't have expected that. But the man with the golden gun again, he goes to China. And when he's in China, he fights some henchmen who are sumo wrestlers.
Yeah, that's wrong.
That's not correct at all. That's
yeah.
I made this joke on Twitter, but that's like going to London and being like, "Where's the Pope?" It's not.
Yeah, yeah.
It's way off. Like it's, you know, they're in a different, they're in similar parts of the world. Totally wrong though.
But Hollywood always gets that wrong, and I'm not saying that you should forgive it. I mean, it's a flaw. But in what was it? Batman Begins. He goes to China or Tibet or something to study the ways of the ninja. Ninja are from Japan. So that's kind of messed up.
Oh, yeah. Do they actually say the word? Yeah, I think they say ninja in that.
That or it's like shadow assassin, which...
Yeah, that's...
It's ninja.
We know what that is. That's ninjas.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That goddamn Batman, he's just as bad as James Bond. He's racist.
Well, yeah, that's a British Batman, though. So you can't, or Australian? I forget.
I think he's British. He's British. Christian Bale. He is British. James Bond is British. So the British are the most racist people. We figured it out.
All right, we're done. Thanks for listening.
We solved racism. Just get rid of the British. We're done here.
Good night, everybody. That was the entire point of this show. We're not cops, and we're trying to solve racism.
We got to the bottom of both of those things tonight. Thanks a lot.
But anyway, you're 9 movies in. You said?
Yeah, 9 movies in. Also, I do want to mention that to stop those sumo wrestlers, he grabbed their buttocks.
Oh, that's very sexual.
I don't know how he thought that was going to stop them, but he just grabbed their buttocks like really tightly, and then
they pass out or what happened?
I don't know. I think he ended up passing out.
It just changes frame. Like the last thing you see is his hand grabbing their butt.
Yeah,
and close up, and then it just cuts to whatever. The villain's doing. And
yeah.
You see James Bond walking down the street somewhere.
Yeah.
Thank God I got out of that sticky situation.
Yeah.
It
went even farther. He grabbed the buttocks and then it said, like, the end. James Bond will return in Moonraker.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
I still point to, like, one of the least favorable parts of that series. And I haven't seen all of it. But I was with somebody who... I mean, she was just in love with the entire franchise. And I talked about how I wasn't a big fan of the films. Like, I tried to get into them, and she's like, oh, I love them all, and all this stuff. I'm like, that's awesome. I'm glad you like it, but I just never got into it. I think some of the early ones are really hackneyed, too. It's like, what are you talking about? And there's one, and I think Dr. No, or the second one or something, where in order to kind of pass as just a person at a party, he sees the person that he's trying to track coming down the stairway outside of a building. In his quick thinking, he just, like, does that thing where he rubs his own hands on his back, pretending that he's making out with somebody.
Yeah.
And then, like, the person walks by and the camera stays on him and gets closer. And you can tell, like, those are Sean Connery's hairy hands. Like, you know, unless he's making out with, like, another dude who's equally hairy... It just looks like a guy rubbing his own back in a weird fashion, but it was trying to do it very seductively. And then he turns around and the camera catches him smirking, like, dodge that one. Dumb.
Yeah. If you're doing stuff to get away from the bad guys that, like, Corey Feldman did in Rock and Roll High School Forever, then you're not a very good spy.
Yeah, exactly. Are you going to watch him through the new Bond series?
Yeah. Well, the only ones I've ever seen are... Casino Royale, the new one.
Yeah.
And Quantum of Solace. So I'm going to get all the way up through those. I haven't seen Skyfall yet, so I guess it'll end there.
I haven't seen Skyfall either, but I just recently watched Casino Royale for the first time.
That's a good one.
Go ahead.
It's good.
Yeah, it's drastically different. It's like, oh, he's a spy. He's not Corey Feldman. So let's make him actually do spy stuff here. And I don't know.
Yeah, and that Ava Green broad is a total babe.
Oh, is she the...
She's like the lady that they tie to the road. Like a 20s movie, they tie her to the road and wait for James Bond to run her over.
Oh, I don't remember. I don't think I caught that part.
Ah. But yeah, she's also in that Tim Burton movie, the vampire one, Dark Shadows.
Yeah.
Very foxy. The entire reason to watch the movie, to be honest. The rest of the movie stinks.
Yeah, yeah. It's It's a movie about a show from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's ever been, like, a good movie like that. I mean, even Brady Bunch movies kind of poor. Well, some of it's pretty great, like 90s stuff, but...
Yeah.
Like Beverly Hillbillies, all that jazz.
Ah, yeah, Jim Varney's very good. But yeah, it's like, it's exactly stuff like that that you've already seen, where it's like, he's a vampire from, like, the 1800s, and now he's in the 60s, and he thinks that when you put a record on, it's like a tiny person made of magic. It's the worst jokes you could ever imagine.
Yeah. There's definitely no Naked Gun, right?
Man, Naked Gun is so good.
It is.
But, you know, who's not so good is James Bond, to get back to him.
Right? So, yeah, you're hiking through all these. What has been your favorite part of these? Is there one favorite part or scene that sticks out, or is there a character that you're like, oh, shit, that character's a lot of fun?
Well, there is this one scene. There's this guy, George Lazenby, who took over for one movie.
Mm-hmm.
When Sean Connery first quit. And he was in one, and it was like he's like skiing to get away from bad guys, right? And like they all kind of like jump over like a little hill when they're skiing.
Yeah.
And one of the guys falls into like a wood chipper, and then like his guts go everywhere on the white snow. You know, there's like bloody guts going everywhere. And then George Lazenby goes, he had a lot of guts.
That's pretty good.
That's a good one. That was really good. So, but the rest of that movie is kind of boring, and it's almost 3 hours long, which is absurd.
Yeah, those movies, that's why I can't get through them. It's just like, it's hours and hours of nothing.
Yeah, of nothing. And like...
Yeah, I've watched like Koi Skanti, so I'm not sure what I'm judging this against. I'm like, just do more spy stuff, but I'll watch Traffic in double time or something. It's,
Actual Traffic?
Yeah, that's... I think that's the name of the movie, is Koi Skanti?
I don't know.
Sean Byron and I were talking about it a while ago, and... I was mispronouncing it. It's Koyaanisqatsi.
I still don't know.
Still what?
I still don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's just scenes from around town. There's no plot to it.
Oh, yeah.
You would love it.
Sounds pretty bad.
Not really.
But that's a lot of the problem with these Bond movies is like they're usually about 2 hours long. And, like, so much of them is, like, just dudes chatting. Like, that's James Bond's whole thing, is, like, he's, like, a gentleman spy. So, like, he'll get together with the bad guy, and, like, they'll just, like, play cards and, like, fucking chit-chat. And, like, that's supposed to be the exciting part. So, these movies were, like, 80 minutes long, like, if somebody on the internet made, like, cuts of these movies that were 80 minutes long, they would probably be, like, pretty sweet. Or at least much sweeter. But, like, there's this whole scene where, like, James Bond... like, goes and meets this dude, Goldfinger, and Goldfinger, like, killed his girlfriend, painted her gold, and he's, like, you know, gonna, like, steal all of America's gold from Fort Knox, and they just chill and play golf and, like, sip mint juleps and just talk about their day and stuff. Like, it's the most silly shit I've ever heard of.
So he kills his girlfriend? He kills James Bond's girlfriend.
Yeah, well, this is the part that's kind of cool. James Bond, he's hanging out in Miami, and Goldfinger's there playing cards, right?
Oh, yeah, Miami's awesome. I'm glad he's hanging out there. Go on.
He's hanging out there with LeBron.
Right.
And he finds out that Goldfinger is using this girl to, like, she's using binoculars from a balcony to watch Goldfinger's card game. And she's using, like, a little radio to tell Goldfinger, like, what to do and, like, how to win, which is, like, very obvious because, like, it was, like, the 60s. So, like, he's got, like, basically he's wearing, like, headphones with a big antenna sticking out. And, like, that's...
a cord that runs directly to her walkie-talkie.
Yeah, and the other guy's oblivious. He's like, oh, how are you winning so much, Goldfinger? This is insane. You're winning too much.
By the way, there's nothing unusual about your name being Goldfinger.
Yeah, I know.
That's the other line he says. So
I would never
oblivious guy.
I would never bet against a guy named Goldfinger in my life.
Yeah, I would never. You might associate with them, just be like, that's a pretty fucked up last name. Did you change it yourself? Are you a musician? What is going on?
Yeah, so the lady's helping Goldfinger cheat, and James Bond walks in, and he's like, hey, what are you doing? Are you cheating? And so he, like, he takes the radio from her, and he's like, hey, Goldfinger, you got to give that guy back all his money, or you're dead. And so Goldfinger's like, oh, you son of a bitch. So he, like, James Bond costs Goldfinger, like, all this much money, And then James Bond steals that guy's girlfriend and has sex with her. And then that's the girl that Goldfinger kills. So that part's actually kind of cool. James Bond is just like, yo, I'm going to ruin your card game. I'm going to fuck your chicks. Nothing you can do about it. And then later on, we're going to sip mint juleps together, and you're not even going to throw a punch at me. That's how cool I am. So that part is kind of cool, to be honest.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's bizarre.
But then there's some other stuff that's not cool. Like this time, James Bond has to go undercover as a Japanese ninja. So they give him a black wig, and they dye his chest hair black. And it's not good.
Yes. Please, yeah, I don't want to know what they do to his face. That's it's probably like Team America or something where they try to make him look Middle Eastern.
Yeah,
it's,
I won't ruin it for you, but they do something to his eyes to make him look Japanese.
Yeah, different time, I guess, you know, a different, more racist time.
Yeah, it's pretty odd, and that's, yeah, that was shocking to me.
And speaking of that, I don't want to get too far away from James Bond and stuff, because it's bizarre. I don't know anybody else who's watching all these old James Bond films. But talking about weird racism stuff from like the 60s and 50s and whatnot, I read this article last week that Warner Brothers is now releasing the Speedy Gonzales cartoons back into syndication. I didn't even know that they were gone. I guess kind of figured like this up-and-coming generation had not watched Warner Brothers cartoons. Like, I don't think any kids know what it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just figured that, like, all Warner Brothers Looney Tunes cartoons were gone. And apparently they're trying to bring back Speedy Gonzales, which I would think is, you know, in retrospect, yeah, kind of racist name for a cartoon character that's supposed to be of Latino descent, you know, whatever, wears a giant sombrero. But it's been, like, appropriated at every Tex-Mex restaurant I've been to. You know, what's the meal that is a taco, rice, beans, and like an enchilada? What's the name? What's usually the name of that meal when you go to a Mexican restaurant?
I don't know. Isn't that like everything at a Mexican restaurant?
It's called a Speedy Gonzales.
Oh, really? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, like, you remember El Rancho Grande back in Dayton?
Yeah.
They have a meal that's just like a taco, enchilada, rice, beans. It's called a Speedy Gonzales. It usually runs like under $5 or something. And the reason it's called that is, like, they would get it out to you really fast, or, I don't know, something like that. It's faster than fajitas. And I come out to, like, come to find out that every Mexican restaurant I've been to has that same menu item with the same name. It's always Speedy Gonzales.
That's weird.
Did you ever watch his cartoons when you were a kid?
Yeah, I did. I always thought he was, like, a good role model. I don't know why they would get rid of him. I mean,
he
was a go-getter. Like, if you're going to get rid of anybody, get rid of his cousin, Slowpoke Gonzales, because he was, like, real lazy and didn't want to do anything. I could see how that would be, you know, derogatory. But Speedy Gonzales, like, he was always a go-getter. He's always outsmarting cats and stuff. Like, I think he has a lot of positive things to tell the youngsters.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. Like, I didn't think that there was anything inherently wrong with it, but, you know, the name itself, like, it is kind of like a Carlos Danger ring to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But anyway, yeah, interesting bit of news. Those are coming back around. Yeah. And yeah, James Bond is a creep. Sounds like a total creep.
Yeah, this James Bond stuff is way more racist than Speedy Gonzales, but that's beloved by all these James Bonds. There's even a scene where he gets to Japan and, like, the Japanese chairman is like, you know, in Japan, men come first and women come second. And James Bond is like, well, I'm going to retire here. This is very weird.
That's a weird thing to say.
I don't know who to villainize there. James Bond for wanting to retire there, or that Japanese chairman?
But yeah, I don't know.
So when you went to Japan, Mr. Frisbee, did anybody tell you that that women come first, or men come first and women come second?
No, everybody just said I looked like Johnny Depp, which was also, like, a bizarre exaggeration. Not even close.
Did you, like, get mad and be like, do we all look the same?
No, but I got told that. We went to a bar with this guy who was a radiologist, and he just, like, got his drinks and would practice English with us and, like, talk about dude stuff. And we went to this gaijin bar. It's basically, you know, where foreigners would go. And it was kind of traditional Western-style bar. Not, like, traditional Wild West. I'm talking about, like, it's a Western-style bar. Like, no one came through saloon doors. It was like, ooh, kick my horse or whatever. It was, you know, it's just where all the foreigners would meet up. And there was some, like, really high-end versions of this. I mean, you could find, like, stuff that looked like an Aussie bar. And this one was just called Red Moon. End up, somehow we got a t-shirt of it. I think that guy got us a t-shirt or got me a t-shirt or something of the Red Moon Bar. And we're sitting there one time and there's like these two younger women, probably around our age, and they're like chatting at the end of the bar. They look like college kids or something, also doing like the same college bit that we were doing. You know, cute looking girls, like good looking girls. And this doctor, he's like, hey, what do you think of those girls at the end of the bar? And my buddy Phil, who's been on the show before, we went to Japan with, and we're like, yeah, they're pretty attractive. He goes, which one do you like better? And we're like, the one with the short hair. And we're trying to explain which one we're looking at, you know? We didn't get that far. He's like, oh, whatever, you all look the same to me. I was like, that's racist.
That's so racist.
And then he bought us hot dogs afterwards. Like, he got super plastered. And we got in this cab with him. Because he just, like, you took public transport. It was dumb to have a car there. Like, there's so many cabs. Everybody rode bikes when they're not riding in cabs or trains or whatever. And we get stuck in traffic in this cab. And he gets out of the cab and he's like, hold on, wait. And because the cab's not moving anywhere, he just goes to this stand that's, you know, open late. Kind of like a food truck here, but it was a hot dog stand. Not like a cart or anything, but a stand. And he comes back with these two hot dogs. And as you can probably guess, like, it's this weird, weird bastardization of what's hard to fuck up food. But we do the same stuff. Like, we have hibachi grills, but there's no hibachi grills in Japan. So it kind of works both ways. Like, everybody's fucking up everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we get these hot dogs, these long footlongs that have like slice marks diagonally. It's very neat looking. And then they have like pepperoni covering them, like big slices of pepperoni. and I think there's like a potato garnish lining it, but it didn't look like a Chicago dog or anything. It's just bizarre.
Potatoes.
It was a weird concoction.
I don't even think that they're that crazy in Chicago that they would put potatoes on a hot dog. That's insane.
No, yeah, I mean, it's something you kind of do yourself, I guess. And then what is that stuff called? It was like this kind of salad garnish, too. Like, I can't think of the name. It was like some sort of long kind of onion thing. It was weird. It was the most messed up, like, attempt at a hot dog that I've ever seen. Like, it's like somebody who'd never seen a hot dog was told through, like, a hole in the wall. When they had all these items in front of them, it's like, okay, first you take the bun. And now, do you see that long, like, oblong red object? That's the hot dog. And he's like, oh, I better put these pepperoni on here first or something. And I'll just put these jalapenos on it too. It was weird, man. Really strange hot dog. But we were eating them because we're, you know, we just been to a bar, so we need to eat afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're eating them and we're moving along in traffic, he turns around. He's like, hey, do you like those hot dogs? And we're like, yeah, they're good. He's like, of course you do. You're Americans. Like, damn. Really, I think that was the entire point of the trip. Like, even though he was barely plastered, he was just trying to make racist jokes at us. Like, you all look the same, and you all love hot dogs.
That's terrible. Like, I would have been like, after he said that, I'd be like, well, I'm just trying to be nice. This hot dog is bullshit.
You don't put pepperoni on a hot dog?
Who does that?
Just Sonic, apparently.
Man, Sonic, they're really innovative when it comes to the hot dog game. They're going nuts over there. They got the top men on the project, man. You have one of these hot dogs that where the bun is a pretzel?
I had that.
Dude, it's pretty good.
It's microwave, dude. That thing comes out wrinkly and flat-looking. It's weird.
Yeah, man, that's great. That's how you do it. You put it in the microwave. It softens up the bun. It makes it all steamy. That's good.
It's gross, man. It does not look like a pretzel. It looks like somebody was carrying around a pretzel in a backpack on a warm campus day or something. It's like, well, I guess I better throw this pretzel out or give it to birds or something.
Nah, I don't know about that.
That was gross, man. I did not like it.
Maybe you're not as American as you thought.
I guess not, you know? Maybe I should have just called bullshit. Like, no, dude, I don't want this hot dog. I want some poutine instead.
Ooh.
Anyway, yeah, so James Bond is a racist dude towards Japanese.
Yeah, also sexist. There's this one scene where, like, James Bond and his girl are, like, hanging out, and, like, you know, like, the leader of the British intelligence comes over, and he's like, hey, James Bond, I got something to tell you. And then James Bond, or not even that, he doesn't even say that. Like, he's just like, hey, James Bond, how you doing? And then, like, James Bond's like, hey, girl, meet, you know, this guy. And she's like, hey, how you doing? And then James Bond is like, all right, now leave. And she's like, what are you talking about? I just met this guy. And he's like, men talk. And then he slaps her on the ass, and then she leaves. It's insanity. It's total insanity.
That's totally misogynistic. But did you dig it on the same level that you kind of dig Mad Men? Like, doesn't Mad Men do basically the same thing?
I don't know. I kind of stopped watching Mad Men because it's, like, really boring. But, yeah, kind of. I mean, but, you know, like, Mad Men's doing it, like, through the prism of, like, history, you know? And, like, they're just, like, trying to, like, recreate, you know, a time where this, like, happened and was okay. To whereas, like, the Bond movies are, like, they're just doing it because it was okay. So it's, like, kind of a different thing.
Yeah, like, it's more of the time rather than trying to reflect the time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, I don't know, though. I mean, some of that stuff is, like, yeah, that's hyper-misogynistic. It's just, it's not at all like the Bond movies that have been coming out recently, like the Skyfall and whatnot, or Casino Royale.
Yeah, but then, like, it's, like, kind of, like, sexist and stuff as that is, like, it's also kind of, like, a charming sort of sexism, because now that I'm in, like, the mid-70s with James Bond, there's a scene where, like, this girl, like, she's, like, hanging out trying to help James Bond, and then her butt pushes the self-destruct button in the thing they're in. And I think that's way more, like, crazy and sexist. Like, the fact that this chick is, A, stupid enough to accidentally hit the self-destruct button, and B, it was because of her fat ass. Like, that's way worse than, like, turning to a girl and being like, it's men talk time. See ya, honey.
I don't know, man. That's both are very ridiculous.
Yeah, and then also the girl who hit the self-destruct button with her butt. Like, Bond was like, hey, turn off the self-destruct button. And then, like, she turned to the instructions, and she couldn't read them very well.
Were her breasts in the way?
No.
Like, my bra is too high.
No, she was just so stupid that she, like, didn't really understand words. It was really bad.
These movies are horrifyingly bad.
It's pretty intense.
Well, good luck with the rest of them, man.
I'm hoping.
You should watch OSS 117 films after this.
I'm writing that down. I've never heard of that.
Oh, we talked about it on the show before. When I talked about, like, watching The Artist or something. We talked about with the Badland Girls when they were on. Maybe it was before or after the show. But, yeah, we were talking about OSS 117. It is subtitled, but they're fucking hysterical. It's this, it was the French's version of James Bond of the time. And these movies are parodies of it. So it's like Naked Gun. And he makes all these sexist, misogynistic comments throughout the film. And everybody reacts to him as they probably would, like, today. Or even back then, like, very, very straight reactions. Like, what did you say to me? It's like, I said you had a nice butt. And you're like, you're terrible. You need to leave. It's like...
That sounds funny.
Yeah, yeah. And... it also, a lot of, like, the big spy action scenes remind me of that Australian show that came out. Like, what was, it was the, it was, like, the spy crew, and it was called Danger 5 or something.
Carlos Danger. The Carlos Danger 5.
Carlos Danger 5. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one. No, the one with, like, their boss was that guy with an eagle for a head. Like, he had an eagle's head for his head, and he'd give them their missions. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what that is, but it sounds incredibly American. Taking orders from a bald eagle?
Yeah, shit, I forget what it's called now. Yeah, Danger 5. Danger 5, that's what it is. And it's Australian, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's Australian. And, every episode they're their mission is to, as always, kill Hitler. Like, it's a world where Hitler has survived, and that's their job, is to kill Hitler. And every time Hitler jumps out of a window, and they use the same stock footage of him, like, crashing through window.
Yeah, I think Kevin Moss likes that show.
Yeah, he talked about it on Junk Food Dinner, I'm almost certain.
I believe you're correct. I haven't checked it out. But yeah, I kind of great. Am... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
It's pretty great, that's all I was saying.
Yeah, I am kind of in the mood to watch more spy stuff from the time. Because, like, now that I'm, like, watching the 70s stuff, like, I do kind of feel nostalgic for the 60s stuff and, like, how kind of, it, like, has this weird charm to it. I don't know. I don't know what it is exactly, because I didn't like them when I was actually watching them. But now that I'm in, like, the grim and gritty, like, 70s Bond, I kind of really miss, like, the happy-go-lucky offensiveness of the 60s stuff.
You know, actually, now that we're talking about this, I totally forgot. Like, last month, I watched In Like Flint for the first time.
Yeah, I've been wanting to see that.
Well, James Coburn in it, and there's a sequel to it, too. But that one's bizarre because it actually, first of all, he's American, which I'm sure that's up your alley, mm-hmm. I guess. and he's, like, super smart. Like, it's kind of this precursor to Buckaroo Banzai. Like, he's this dude who's a genius, you know? He knows a little bit about everything, and he's got, like, these hyper-intelligent aspects, too, of certain skills or fields. And then the film itself, it starts to veer into this kind of a head-on attack on misogyny and, like, other spy films. So it's interesting how it plays out, but, yeah, misogyny plays a... They actually discuss it in the movie, and the guys in that film are kind of dumb compared to the women. It's pretty interesting.
Sounds pretty cool. I've heard a lot of good things about that.
Yeah, I fell asleep 3 times watching it. It's a very long movie.
That's not a ringing endorsement.
The parts I saw were good. Nope. Trust me, but it was...
the parts that you're not sleeping through. Top notch.
Yeah. I can only imagine how good the parts I was sleeping through were. Yeah, I watched Slacker and then that. So, you know. I was a tired guy.
That's understandable. Sounds like a real culture shock, too. Going from, like, you know, early 1990s Austin hipsterdom to...
Yeah, Gen X to Slackers to, gentleman spy film from the 1960s.
Yeah.
And the way that movie ends is fucking great. It's totally fantastic. I regretted falling asleep so many times at the end of that movie.
Well, I'll check it out. One thing that we shouldn't regret is missing out on the lightning round. So let's play the lightning round song and get into that.
And now it's time for the lightning round.
I have these lightning rounds here. The first thing we got is a man with learning difficulties. I don't know how learning difficulties are different from learning disabilities. He's 36. He's banned from having sex as a judge considers whether to make legal history by ordering him to have a vasectomy.
What?
This judge?
He has a learning difficulty? I don't understand what that means. I'm having difficulty learning about this story.
Yeah, well, I didn't read it beforehand. I just read the headline, so I can't really help you out too much. This is from England, so maybe they just call learning disabilities learning difficulties.
Oh, like a polite way of saying it?
Yeah, maybe. They're so much more polite over there.
Mm.
But this guy, he had to go to court for some reason, and the judge says that it could cause a child psychological harm if he were to have one. So this judge feels that people who aren't good at learning should not have kids. It's pretty intense. How do you feel? Should we euthanize all the people we don't like? And, euthanize or sterilize? Should we sterilize?
Definitely not euthanize. I don't know. Sterilization as a court order is interesting to me. I'm working with law a bit lately, as you're aware.
Mm-hmm. You are the law.
I am the law.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
I'm not a cop. What the fuck am I saying? I'm not a cop.
You're not a cop at all.
Not a cop.
You're not the law. You're not working with the law. That was a slip of the tongue.
I want to know where those kids are.
You misspoke.
Where are the teens hanging out? Drugs, units, you know, and all that stuff. Anyway, I work with proofreading law.
You have a friend. You have a friend that works in the law. Not you.
He's a friend named Jay Frisbee. That's too obvious. Jason F. And yeah, he knows all about this stuff. Anyway, I'm proofreading these laws, and I had to go through all this stuff today about just the worst crimes, like worst sex crimes against kids and all this stuff. You're just like, oh God, like we have these laws because they weren't, somebody infringed on them. So now they have details about what exactly happens. And you look at case notes and stuff. These are published volumes and everything. It's just horrifying. It's the worst. And I know it's nothing that would ever come to pass, but the court ordered vasectomy. I don't know. That would be wild. That'd be interesting. Because there's all these laws, like, I don't know if you've delved too deeply in them, I'm sure every state has them, about, like, if there is somebody who's the product of, not in this case of learning difficulty, but of rape, like, if somebody gets raped and has a kid because of it, you know, carries that kid to term and everything, and I guess in some states, it's, I don't know, I didn't keep up with every state about whether that's the case. Anyway, what happens to that kid? Like, the kid has to grow up with the knowledge that their father was just some rapist. And in this case, like, are they entitled to what that person has? Like, that person is, of course, forced to pay alimony, you know? It's like, you forcibly created this person, now you have to pay for it. But when that person dies, does all the, like, the last will and testament says everything that person owns go to that offspring. But for a person with a learning difficulty, first of all, I don't know what that is. That could, I don't know if this person's just bad at math or, you know, is somebody who needs like assistance, but a quarter of a vasectomy in that case sounds kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't think it ever says in the story exactly what the learning difficulty is. I don't know. It says here, that he does not have the capacity when it comes to making decisions about contraception and cannot be relied upon to use condoms or other birth control methods. So
has he had too many kids already? Like, is that his problem? He just can't stop having kids?
I think he's got one kid, and he's been with his girlfriend for 10 years. Like, if you've been with somebody for 10 years and you got one kid, like, that seems reasonable.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's personal. Like, somebody... Somebody just wants to give this guy a vasectomy really badly.
Yeah. It's pretty wild that a judge would institute this. In California, we have this thing where in prisons, they sterilize like a bunch of like female prisoners without telling them. So I guess it's better for the judge to inform you first, but this is pretty wild. I'm going to send you this picture of this judge. And this is kind of what gets me so heated about this story. It's like, if you're going to make a, you know, a pretty big, heavy decision like this, at least go through the trouble to not be dressed like Santa Claus.
Yeah, it's Mrs. Claus.
Yeah, this lady is a judge. She's wearing, like, the wig, the powdered wig, of course, that they still wear in 2013 because they're a fucked up, irrelevant culture. But she's also wearing a cape, a white cape, with, like, a white bonnet. Or not a bonnet, but like a white, kind of like a frilly thing around her neck that like Austin Powers would wear. And, yeah. She's wearing like a poncho that's all like red and satin that has big wizard sleeves. It's really ridiculous looking. I would never listen to this person no matter what they tried to tell me. I'd be like, yo, maybe I've got learning disabilities, but I'm dressed like a human adult and not like a fucking fictional, fairy tale. It's ridiculous. Who would listen to somebody like this?
I don't know. I mean, possibly they'll move if they can. But it seems like a very odd judgment. I'm sure it will get reversed or whatever, but it's that's bizarre. Yeah, it's very bizarre.
Yeah, this is from like a week ago, so maybe it's been resolved by now. We should find the follow-up one day.
Yeah, totally. Well, what else do you have?
We have the Bloodhound Gang. Tell me if you've heard about this. They're fleeing from Russia because the bassist desecrated their flag.
Okay. Why did he do that?
I don't know. Probably because Russia sucks. They're like evil. So I can imagine why a lot of people would want it as a great... Oh, no. Looks like we're out of time.
Well, shit. Well, any last words about the Bloodhound Gang?
No.
They had one song, right?
Well, they got a lot of songs. They're a very good band. They're fine.
I'm sure that's why he desecrated the flag.
They just like
he was party. Upset that he just had one song.
Yeah, they were showered with tomatoes and beaten by the locals after they desecrated that flag. Jimmy Pop, who is not the bassist, he's the lead singer, he says he disagrees with the act and says, unfortunately, Russia is better than America, which is an interesting viewpoint about a country that where the president tells you it's okay to go out into the street and brutally beat gay people to death.
Yeah, well, maybe there's something about Jimmy Pop that we don't know.
Maybe he enjoys brutally beating gay people to death.
Yeah. Anyway, Bloodhound Gang. They had that one song about watching X-Files while having sex.
They got a lot. They were the party jams of 1999. Bloodhound. There's nothing wrong with the Bloodhound.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Limp Bizkit was beaten to the punch on that.
No, they were not a party band.
Spice Girls. Was Spice Girls the thing then? I forget.
I think, well, maybe. Spice Girls, they were for partying too. I don't know. Well, depending on your views on Russia and America, one of these guys in Bloodhound Gang is going to be your new hero, and the other one, or the other one. I don't know. Who cares? Get out of here.
Oh.
Well, I do also want to mention a homeless Fresno man was caught using the library's Wi-Fi for child porn. So that's another one of those stories I like to point out on the show, because I think libraries are just so that poor people can get the internet to find porn and child porn. So
you are mostly right. Having worked at a library, I had to rat out a bunch of transients who would. Would be just like watching the most filthy porn right next to a kid who's working on their science fair project. It's just the most depressing contrast of lifestyles I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that kid's really doing a great job. He's really researching. Oh my God. That's some bestiality on screen. And that dude's hand is in his pocket.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's gross stuff.
Oh, that is yuck. Don't go to the library.
It's not like the library is saying, hey, homeless people, we got a few computers for you. You should really listen. We need some folks here to watch some porn. It's not going to watch itself. Like, it's a bigger issue. It's a bigger issue when you have somebody driving around downtown Dayton with a whiteout on their van talking about, like, how the Earth's crust can be formed. They can make a new island out of a volcano. Like, there's a Bond villain driving around in the van.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is one Bond villain who has a secret base inside of a volcano, which is pretty awesome.
That's pretty metal.
I think that's from the Japanese movie. That movie's good. I'm going to be honest with you. That offensive Japanese movie, that was probably the best one. Whichever one that was.
Your regular Jimmy Pop. You. Like, it's better than most American films. Just to make fun of Japanese people.
Well, I'm not saying that's not one of the good parts of it. I mean, there was like a big ninja fight scene at the end. If you fast forward through all the like the horrible racist sexist stuff, like there's a cool ninja fight scene at the end.
Radical.
So and yeah, it's better than Transformers. I'm gonna go out and say that on record. That the ninja James Bond movie better than Transformers, better than all American films. I'm gonna say I'm gonna go out on a limb here.
Saying something's better than Transformers films isn't quite saying anything. I mean, it's like saying, I don't know.
Well,
it's like
that's what I think of when I think of American movies is Transformers.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I'm just saying it's not a high bar to cross over.
That's true. Until anyway. Part 4 comes out with Mark Wahlberg.
What?
It's going to be so good. It's going to be so
Transformers
good.
Transformers 4 is going to have Mark Wahlberg on it?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty good.
How do you know it's going to be pretty good?
Nah, it's going to be stupid. But speaking of stuff that's not stupid, man, I watched the new Fast and Furious movie, Part 6.
Is it dumb?
No, it's so fucking good. It's crazy good. It's like the best movie I've ever seen. It's so good.
Yeah?
Way better than all the Bond films. And the final scene made me jump up and shout. It made me shout, hooray!
Did you really?
I'm serious.
You jumped up and shouted hooray?
Yeah.
Or were you just kind of like, hooray?
No, I shouted. I was like, yo! And, like, I threw my dog in the air, and, like, I kicked over a stereo.
I was imagining you doing this in a theater. That was better. Unless you took your dog to a theater, which is pretty rad. Would you do that?
No, I would love to do that, though. He would fit, and he would love to cuddle during a whole movie. I bet I could get away with taking him to a theater.
Yep.
But, I just watched it at home. But
you should dress him up as your Japanese adopted son. Put a little black wig on him.
Yeah.
And paint his chest hairs black.
Yeah, I'll do that. This is my son. His name is Hero Yoshi. Bond.
Yoshi Danger.
Mm-hmm. Yoshi Danger Bond.
Yeah.
Matsuda. yeah. But anyway, that movie's good.
Danger.
I suggest watching Fast and Furious 6, Mr. Frisbee. I recommend that to you. That's my recommendation to you this week. What would you like to recommend to me?
OSS 117. It's a French movie with subtitles that makes fun of James Bond. If you're already watching James Bond, like, you're halfway there. I know you don't dig on subtitles, right?
No, I'm fine with subtitles.
You don't like French movies, though, right?
I like Martyrs.
Well, this isn't quite a French. I mean, it's a parody movie. It's almost It is almost exactly like a Zucker Brothers film, like Naked Gun. It's like Naked Gun.
I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay, OSS 117, do it.
I'll check it out.
Nest of Spies, check it out.
Nest of Spies is a good name for a band. I'll write that down. Mm-hmm. And that's the end of this show.
So, check out our webpage. A webpage?
Webpage.
All right, webpage, sorry.
Check out our AOL homepage. I think the kids are calling them Wibby sites. Check out our Wibby site.
Our Mediafire site. No, not Mediafire. I can't think of anything right now. It's poolpartyradio.com. You can find us there. Find all our old episodes. You can link to our podcast bros, like them kissing contests and like those Badland girls and those acid pop cults and rotten rantings and, of course, junk food dinner.
Mm-hmm. And Pot Awful.
And the Pot Awful. Do not forget, we're on the Pot Awful Network.
That's true.
And you can find other quality shows of people probably not talking about exactly what we do, but with the same verve and liveliness as only people over Skype can.
Mm-hmm.
You can email us, poolpartyradio@gmail.com.
Oh, we have an email.
Yes, we do.
I'm glad we didn't forget it the third week in a row.
We are terrible people. It's actually from Mr. Unstable.
Who will be here in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And he says, NSA guy's new song. Hello, Jason Frisbabe and Parker Bone Man. I actually like that, Bone Man.
That's pretty good.
Were you ever called Bone Man in school or anything?
No, they call me Boner Man.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Boner Man. But Bone Man's all right?
Bone Man's cool. Because it's not, like, specifically about boners. But then again, like, I mean, when you're, like, a little kid, like, hiding boners is, like, all you do in life. You know, it's like, make sure nobody sees your boner. But now, you know, at like my advanced age, if I'm called the boner man, like, that's cool. I still, you know, I don't have erectile dysfunction yet. Cool. I'm the boner man. That's fine.
Cool. All right. This is your alien pal, Mr. Unstable. I've been in the studio recording my new album, and a special friend of yours and mine, the NSA guy, just stopped by to work on his new song, Xanax, Cocaine, Marijuana. He wants you guys to play this on the next podcast or else. Anyway, I had nothing to do with this. I'm just passing on the message and the song. Have a good summer, fellas. Less than three, Mr. Unstable.
Love them, Mr. Unstable.
It's a heart. Less than three.
Yeah.
Love that guy. And we'll be playing his song, too.
Yeah, him and the creepy NSA guy's song. They got together, I guess, before he worked for the NSA, maybe. They collaborated on a hit song. So
he is an alien. He's from outer space. So
it's true.
He has a lot of, the government has a lot of interest in keeping those guys on under wraps.
That's true. He's probably listening to Mr. Unstable's phone calls much more than listening to podcasts.
Yeah, absolutely. We haven't heard from him today, so maybe he's doing that.
Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff going on, that NSA guy. A lot of phone calls to listen into.
It doesn't seem like it, right? I mean, he just kind of drops in and talks to us.
Yeah, well, you know, it's probably...
He was commenting on Saw 4 last week. That was kind of unsavory.
Well, you know, I don't. I respect that he actually watched it, because I haven't watched any of these Saw movies you've talked about. So I appreciate that he actually watched and did some.
You watched them years ago, right?
Yeah, I watched them very many years ago.
So, well, next week we're doing Saw 5, so...
Yeah, Mike Dick from the Kissing Contest will be here to talk about Saw 5, a movie he calls the worst Saw movie. So...
Again, what is that really saying about anything? It's like... Transformers. Is this better? Is it better than Transformers? That'd be the real litmus test.
I would say that Saw 5 is better than Transformers.
Well, all right.
If you were to ask me. Well, we'll see what you have.
Not sure what that means, but...
It's hard telling. It's like comparing apples and oranges, really.
Yeah.
But
it's a movie I'm not going to demand my money back just on quality of film alone.
Yeah, I actually think you might like it because I think that 4 and 5 are exactly the same movie as far as quality and the fact that I mixed them up and I couldn't tell you what happens in either one of them. So okay. If you liked 4, which you seem to, then... I think the you'll like 5 as well.
Yeah. I think all I'm learning is that these are okay films. And I'm not sure why Saw Fan 666 is the way he is because of these films, or if he was already bizarre and these films just kind of fit with that personality. I don't get it.
Yeah. Either way. I think he was already a creep, and if the Saw movies wouldn't have happened, then he would just be like Paranormal Activity Fan 666, and he would pretend he was a ghost.
Yeah, instead of wearing the jigsaw mask.
Yeah.
Like, I have no desire to get stronger or eat hot dogs.
Well, you do have a desire to eat hot dogs.
When they're bought for me, even if they're dressed up weird, I'm just being polite. Like, oh, this is great. What a hot dog. Hey, what a dog this is. But yeah, it's not my first food choice. That kid eats like dozens of dogs a day or something. Yeah. He watches his hot dog eating competitions on Coney Island.
Yeah, that's good. That's, you know, if that...
I don't do those things. I don't have a desire to do them after getting through 4 Saw films.
Well, maybe once you've finished 7 Saw films, you will.
That's when I start, like, typing things in all caps and with horrible misspellings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It'll happen. It'll happen to you.
Whoa. If you want to catch up on any of those old episodes where I'm talking about Saw films, those are also on iTunes and Stitcher. Are they on Stitcher? Oh, no, Stitcher works.
Yeah, they're on Stitcher. Or at least, like,
right.
I don't think they go back very far on Stitcher. I think it's, like, the most recent 5 or something on Stitcher. But they're there.
Yeah, they're there. So subscribe. Leave a rating or review. Those are awesome. They make us feel good
mm-hmm.
about ourselves and what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also find us on them Twitters, at Jason Frisbee and at Final Parker.
Yes.
And you've got a Vine channel, which you explained it last week, and I don't know, it went over my head again. But your Vine videos are funny when you post them on Twitter. I like them. I see you're drawing again.
Yeah.
You had a Manny the Manjuice up there.
I drew Manny the Manjuice, who was the mascot of the Pool Party magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was fun to bring him back. He's a very nice guy.
Yeah, he's really adorable.
Thanks. And I'll tell you about Manny the Manjuice. I first drew him and invented him when I was at a rave party in Indianapolis where Sir Mix-a-Lot was performing. I was on a lot of drugs at the time.
Yeah, but that's a pretty great drawing.
Thanks.
I didn't realize you actually drew him when we did a... I worked on issue, was it 7 or 13 with you? When did I first start working on that thing with you, contributing whatnot?
Probably around 7, I think, or 8. I don't think we did a 7. I think we skipped 7.
That's right. Yeah, you skipped 7, but I think I was there for 8.
Yeah.
And, I think Manny the Manjuice was on that one, and I thought it was great. I thought it was just hysterical. I didn't realize you drew him, though. I thought that was Joe or somebody.
Well, I drew him originally, and then Joe, like, redrew him to make him better because he's very good at art, and I'm not very good.
He did the Kipper Lacey.
Yeah, the little drowning boy that I have tattooed. And he also did the Tim Death Zombie. Joe's very good at art. I like that guy.
Yeah. But yeah, it's funny. Manny the Manjuice.
Yeah.
And you got all sorts of little cartoons and drawings. You did a Sherlock Homophobia.
Mm-hmm. Very proud of that Sherlock Homophobia short film I made. You can find that at twitter.com/finalparker. and on my Instagram, which I think is Ultimate Parker or Final Parker, one of the two. But you can check out the Sherlock Homophobia short film. I know that some people, at least one person, likes Sherlock Homophobia, so I made that for that one person.
Yeah.
And us. Aside from us, we love Sherlock Homophobia.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if the world at large does.
Oh, no, he's homophobic.
Yeah.
It's pretty awful.
Yeah, I guess it's reasonable to not like him.
Yeah, yeah. It's just funny to see him so confused and weirded out by things and how he gets everything wrong.
Mm-hmm. He's a goofball.
What does he do? He thinks that fireworks will attract homosexuals?
He went to visit his friend to give away this entire short film you can watch on Instagram.
Well, the voices make it, so yeah. That's why you have to watch it.
He goes to his friend's for 4th of July, his American friend, and who speaks Japanese. And, yeah, and so they're watching the fireworks, and then he says that he has to leave because the colorful fireworks will act as a beacon, and homosexuals will be there soon enough to, to
freak out.
I forget exactly what he says, like, have sex with them in the mouth or something like that. So it's very good.
Yeah, he's not that smart.
Yeah, it took me like 6 hours to do, and I thought it was genius, and my wife was like, this is what you do. This is what you do with your life.
Anyways, anywho's, yeah, that Vine channel, those Vine programs, that fine Vine programming and Instagrams that you have, you can find those online too.
Mm-hmm. Look for those. And look for us next week. Mike Dick will be here. We'll be talking about Saw. The week after that, Mr. Unstable will be here. The week after that, we'll be talking about Saw again. And then I think the week after that, Kevin Moss will be here, and we'll be talking about Saved by the Bell.
Well, well, well.
So hot right now. That's Saved by the Bell. So in the meantime, this is Parker for Jason Razor Babes Frizz Babes, and thanks for having fun.
Dancing like a retard. 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 Dancing like a retard feels really weird.
You don't know anything about me, and you're not getting it.
Feels really weird.
All I'm doing is Xanax, cocaine, and marijuana. Mother, shut up. Quit your rah, 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 rah.
Feels really weird.
Come on, get real. Sweetheart, nobody wants to look at your fat roll. You need to look at me. Perfection, not you. Get out of the way. Mother, shut up. Quit your rah, 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 rah. He's well, I'm getting bit. Dancing like a retard. Retard.
Love me, lovely, love me, get back. Love me, love me, love me, get back. Feels really weird. Love me, lovely, love me, get back. Love me, lovely, love me, get back.
Come on, get real.
Feels really weird. I wasn't wanted. I shouldn't be here. I'm an illegitimate child.
Come on.
It feels really weird.
All I'm doing is Xanax, cocaine, and marijuana. I want this to be positive about our lives. What do you mean coming off negative? You've been nice to me, and now you're coming off negative. Dr. Phil, I want this to be positive. I want to set the record straight. All I'm doing is Xanax, cocaine, and marijuana.
Well, you know, I didn't know he was a minor at the time. Hey, it's just what I wanted to do. He was almost old enough.
Come on, get real.
Mother, shut up.
Kids do a little coke here and there. You know, do some Xanax, smoke a little dope, drive under the influence. It's just normal. It's part of being a kid.
Come on, get real.
Really weird.
Come on.
Do a little coke here and there, yeah, do some Xanax, smoke a little dope. Kids do a little coke here and there, yeah, do some Xanax, smoke a little dope. Kids do a little coke here and there, yeah, do some Xanax, smoke a little dope.
Come on,
really weird.
Come on,
really weird. Dancing like a retard, retard, retard. Dancing like a retard.
like a retard. Kids do a little coke here and there, you know, do some Xanax, smoke a little dope, drive under the influence. It's just normal. It's part of being a kid.